And this year, we're starting the second volume of Likutei Halachos Or HaChaim, Chelek Sheni, Hilchos Maaseh Umatan, Halacha Aleph. Rav Nosson Zal begins by quoting the words of the Shulchan Aruch, where it says that after a person finishes davening shacharis, achar kach yelech la'asokov, the person should go to do his work, and he should have emunah that everything is from Hashem, etc. V'osur lehishtateif imakom, and it's forbidden for a Jew to be a partner or to be too close to the goyim. Shemo yischayev lo yishvua, because if you're going to do business with goyim, could be you'll get into some kind of a difference, and the goy will obligate you to swear in his court, to swear by what he swears by. And in doing that, a Jew will be violating the isur of mentioning the names of other idols, of idols, that kind of thing. So that's why the Shulchan Aruch advises best to avoid doing business with goyim to whatever degree you can. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, Hoinyin, ki mevur b'divari Rabbeinu Zal b'simen samachtes chelek aleph. It's explained in Likutei Moran, chapter 69, in the first half of Likutei Moran, Sheshoyresh hanafoshois hu bashirus, that the place from which Jewish souls come from is the same place as which money comes from, wealth comes from. Ve'ikar hagdolas Hashem v'hanefesh walidei ashirus digdusha. And one of the main things that elevates the name of a person and the nefesh of a person is ashirus digdusha, momoin digdusha. Ki ikar ki ashirus digdusha gavoya ma'oid ayin sham. Because money that's used for kedusha is something that's extremely, extremely holy. It's a very high level. Nimtza shehamomoin digdusha shehumomoin Yisraeli hu bechinas shem vonefesh. So therefore, money that's being used for kedusha, Jewish money, is associated with the name of a person and the soul of a person. V'shem v'nefesh Yisrael hu bechinas shem Hashem. And we know that the name of a Jew and the nefesh of a Jew is related to the name of Hashem. Ki shmoi meshutof b'shmeinu. Because Hashem's name is part of our name. We are called B'nai Yisrael. And Yisrael has the word Kel in it. Hashem's name is part of our name. V'ze b'chinas nososo v'nosato b'emunah. And this is why the Gemara says that one of the questions that a Jew will be asked when he comes before the heavenly court is, did you do business in a kosher way? And the wording in the Gemara is, nososo v'nosato be'emunah. Did you do business in a trustworthy way? Rav Nosson Zal says, be'emunah daiko. Note, the Gemara uses the word emunah, with faith. Ki emunah hu bechinas shem Hashem, bechinas Hashem echod u'shmo echod, sheze ikar hu emunah. Because faith is associated with Hashem's name. Because our declaration of our faith in Hashem is the Kriya Shema, where we say, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. It's pronouncing the name of Hashem, declaring the name of Hashem. So Emunah is synonymous with Shem Hashem. Al kein tzorich la'asois masu matin be'emunah. This is why the Gemara says that a Jew has to do masu matin be'emunah. Be'emunah means with the name of Hashem, not with the name of others, chas v'shalom. Because that's the source of Masa Umatan. The source of Masa Umatan is the Nefesh. It's Mama in Dikdusha, which is the Nefesh, which is the Shem Hashem. Ki Hamasa Umatan Voashirus Ubechina Shem Kanal. Because wealth is associated with the name, and the name is associated with Shem Hashem. And we know that Hashem made things in a balanced way, that whatever there is in Kiddusha, there has to be an opposing force to it, in Tumah. Because the money of the Sitra Achra is the opposite of the Momin Kiddusha. just like Mamoin Digdusha is associated with Shem Hashem, then Mamoin of the Sitra Achra is associated with the Shem Elokim Acherim, with the names of idols. Ki kol avodah zarah chuvim b'mamoin, because we know that all idols are found in money. Kama yishikosav Rabbeinu Zal b'mokom achra, as Rabbeinu Zal writes, the pasuk Elokeich loisasun lechem Elokei kesev Elokei zohar. Pasuk calls it idols of gold and silver. And we know, for example, on United States currency, it says in G-O-D we trust. And the G-O-D is the dollar, the quarter, the dime, the quarter. That's the G-O-D. That's what they're trusting in. Uklal momon Yisroel, u'bechinas momon dikdusha, u'bechinas shem v'nefesh, u'bechinas shem Hashem k'nal. In general, Jewish money, whether a person is a tzaddik or less of a tzaddik, when we talk about Jewish money is usually a concept of Mamoin Dikdusha, something that's associated with Shem Hashem. Uklal Mamoin Akum Hu Mamoin Desitra Achro Shibichin Asavid Zorah Mamish Bichin Hashem Lekim Acherim. Whereas non-Jewish money is a concept of Mamoin Desitra Achro. It's a concept of Mamoin that's associated with Elokim Acherim. V'ato Mevur Heitev. Now you could understand very well what the Shulchan Aruch is saying. Why the Shulchan Aruch says, don't get involved in business with Goyim. You know why? Because there's a pasuk that says, don't mention the names of idols. Don't speak of the names of idols. Because when a Jew is joining with a Goy, he is definitely violating the V'shem Elokim Acherim. Even though the guy says, what are you talking about? I've been doing business with a guy for 35 years. I never mentioned the name of an idol. I never had to swear. It's not just the technical aspect of swearing. Rav Nosson Zal is explaining that in concept, on a spiritual level, Goyish money is a concept of Shem Elokim Acherim. Jewish money is a concept of Shem Hashem. Because the source of the souls comes from the same place as where wealth comes from. And when a Jew joins with a non-Jew, and when a Jew joins together in a financial agreement with a Goy, He's uniting his nefesh with the nefesh of the goy. They're uniting on one piece of money, and money is the source of the nefesh. V'alkein bevadai oiver al v'shem elokim acherim, and therefore that's what puts the Jew in violation of this v'shem elokim acherim. Ki nefesh u'momoin akum shehu shoyrish nafshoi hu shem elokim acherim, because the soul and the money of a non-Jew is plugged into Elokim Acherim. It's plugged into the shame of Elokim Acherim. V'tzeitoim aloi. And the pasuk says, get it out of here. There's a pasuk that says that when it comes to idols, tzeitoim aloi, tell them to get out. V'ein loy l'schaber in momon Yisroel. And it's advisable not to join that in with Jewish money, shehu b'chinas shame v'nefesh Yisroel, which is associated with the name of a Jew, the name of Hashem, and the soul of a Jew, Asher Meshutov Boi Shem Hashem, which has Hashem's name as part of it. Someone just raised the question, the concept that we have that's fortunately or unfortunately a very well-known item nowadays and for years, for hundreds of years, a concept of Jews, very religious Jews, who live in Eretz Yisrael, who go to Chutz Loretz, and who seek support for Eretz Yisrael from Chutz Loretz. Now, when we talk about Eretz Yisrael versus Chutz Loretz, it's also a concept of Shem Hashem versus Shem Elokim Acherim, because Eretz Yisrael is called the land of Emuna, Shchon Eretz Urei Emuna, the Pasuk says. Eretz Yisrael is the place of Emuna, which means Chutz Loretz, compared to Eretz Yisrael, is a concept of idols. A place of idols, a place of tumah. So the question is, why do we do that? How do we do that? The answer is, one of the answers that's given, the Zohar HaKadosh explains that Kaviyochel, Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laaretz are like a cup and saucer. The cup is Eretz Yisrael. When the cup is whole, it's Bishleimus. When you pour liquid into the cup holds it. When the cup has a hole in it, it's punctured, it's defective, it has an H-O-L-E in it, then what's going into the cup leaks out into the saucer underneath it. The saucer is Chutz Laaretz. And then what happens is that you have to end up going to the saucer, pouring what's in the saucer back into the cup. You have to repair the cup and pour from the saucer back into the cup, in a sense. That's the concept of it. So that there is a concept sometimes of a Jew going to a non-Jew to retrieve Jewish money. I once had a case about 5-6 years ago with being involved with Reb Michal, where there was a certain person, a very close friend of mine, a businessman, who had a business in Spain. Not he had a business, he had a customer to go see in Spain. Now this person was a Sephardi. The Ashkenazic Jews, as far as I know, have a cherem on them of going to Spain. Since the Spanish Inquisition, not supposed to go to Spain, period. I don't know if that cherem applies the same to Sephardim, but for whatever reason, this person was going to Spain and was going to do a major business deal with a goy there. And I remember when Reb Michal spoke about it, he spoke about the concept of retrieving which Spain swallowed up when the Inquisition took place and they threw Jews. Trillions of dollars of Jewish money that gets swallowed up by Spain, by Goyish Spain. And when a Jew now extracts some of that, the concept is he's extracting Jewish money. He's retrieving our money from them. That kind of concept. Just like the concept of Gerim is a concept, Rabbeinu Zal explains in Likutei Moharan, that whenever the Goyim block the Jews from doing mitzvahs, it's a concept that the Goyim are swallowing up the toiv of the Jews. And when enough of that accumulates and it comes together, it breaks out, it explodes in the form of a convert, a Goy who suddenly gets the bright idea to come to the Jewish people. And the question is, what does a Goy have to do with Jews? You're Goy and we're Jews. We're 4 trillion miles apart. How do you know, where's there any association whatsoever? The answer is, it's not that we're millions of miles apart. The Goy who comes to convert is a package of good, of mitzvos and Torah and Maisim Tovim that the Goyim swallowed up by them blocking the Jews from performing those mitzvos and Maisim Tovim and everything. It's as if they swallowed up all of that Kiddusha. And when that Kiddusha gets together and certain things happen to it, it explodes and it finds its way back to its source, to its real source, which is the Jewish people, which is Klal Yisrael. So that's a similar concept of Jewish money that's been swallowed up by the Goyim and being taken out of there and brought back, you know. And the concept, just like when the Jews took the Rechush out of Mitzrayim, remember? When they had to leave Mitzrayim with tremendous wealth. If Goyish money is such a terrible thing, why didn't Hashem say, hey, don't touch it with a 10-foot pole? On the contrary, what the Yidden were taking out of there was a concept of Mamun Digdusha that had been swallowed up. The Goyim kept the Jews enslaved there for 210 years with no salaries or anything. You know, and all of that wealth was Jewish money, that the Mamun Digdusha that they were taking out, in a sense. Continuing inside, V'zeh Sham Razal Shemo Yishayev Lo Yishvua. And this is why the Gemara says the reason why you're not allowed to do business with a Goy is because could be in the process you're going to end up being forced to swear. Ki shvua digdusha hu bechinas shem Hashem. Because we know that swearing, according to the Torah, is a concept of shem Hashem. Kama Yishikosov, as the Pasuk says, lo yisiso es shem Hashem alikecho lashov, lo yisishovu bishmi lashoker. Rav Nosson Zal shows you that all the psukim in the Torah that talk about swearing, they always use that term swear in the name of Hashem. Don't utter Hashem's name in vain. Don't swear in Hashem's name falsely. So shvua and shem Hashem are synonymous. V'al kein, בכל מקום שיש הכחשה בין שני אנשים ואין יודעים למי מגיע הממון. And therefore, whenever there is a conflict between two people and there's a question, there's a litigation, they don't know who the money should belong to, oz matilin beinem shvua. What do? They place a shvua between them. והשבוע מבררס או אמס למי מגיע הממון. And the shvua clarifies and determines to whom the money goes to. כי השבוע, because again, the one who swears, that shows that he's, the fact that he's prepared to utter the name of Hashem, you know, in saying that it's his, that shows that it's really his. כי השבוע היא בחינס שם השם, שבחינס שורש הממון, שבחינס שם כנר. Because the Shvuah is a concept of mentioning Hashem's name. And Hashem's name is the source of where money comes from. Al kein al yidei HaShvuah mizbarer heitev l'mi shayach ha-momoin me'achar shehu shayrish ha-momoin. So Rav Nosson Zal says, if Shvuah is a concept of Shem Hashem, and Shem Hashem is the source of money, then you could understand how Shvuah will clarify to whom the money belongs to. Because the Shem Hashem, which is the source of money, that will show you to whom this money belongs to. Kishon b'sharoshoi b'vadai mevuror heitev m'moyne shel kol echad v'echad. Because at its origin, up there within Hashem's name, there it's very clear which money belongs to who. Ve'ein echad yochoi liga shom b'shel chaveroi klum. And over there, nobody can touch anybody else's. And this is why the Gemara was afraid that who knows, maybe the Goy is going to force the Jew to swear. Because this is something that's very prevalent. And it's almost a definite item that it's going to come to that. Because non-Jews are usually full of sheker when it comes to doing business. Ki mamoinom shum mamoin de sitrachro milkach misham. Because their money, goyish money, which is money de sitrachro, comes from sheker. Shehu avoydezora, shehu b'china sheker, because avoydezora is sheker. V'al kein heim chashudim tomid al sheker. And this is why a goy is always suspect of lying. Kama shekosu, as the posuk says in Tehillim, asher piem diber shol v'yaminom yimin sheker. Their mouth speaks falsehood, and their right is a right of falsehood. V'al kein bevadai yischayev lo yakum shvua shelohem, shubchina selakim acherim. And this is why you can be assured that the goy is going to force you to swear, that it's going to come to that, it's going to come to swearing, and swearing using his name, using his idol's name. Ki mishom shoyresh mamoinam, because that's the source of where the goy's money comes from. Mibchinas avodah zara, mibchinas shem elokim acherim, shibchinas shvuah sheker shelahem. V'al kein osur liyisrael lishtatef imoy. And this is why a Jew is supposed to keep his distance from the goy in business. Ki mamoin yisrael hu mamoin nigdusha, shibchinas shoresh moy v'nafshay Hashem ushuto boishem Hashem. Because Jewish money is mamoin nigdusha, which is plugged into the name of Hashem, which is plugged into where the Jewish nefesh is plugged into. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, "Va'ayin b'maymar hamaschil mi sheroitzel karav v'niyodnu Hashem Yisborach." Take a look in chapter 59 in Likud Imran. What we spoke about till now was from chapter 69. Take a look in Torah Nuntes, which begins speaking about a person who wants to bring people close to Hashem. Mashekoso shom al posuk v'nosati lohem beveisi uvechoymoiso yad v'shem kanal shom avur heitev hagdomazu shehamomoyim hu bechina shem v'nefesh. It's in that chapter in Likut Imran that Rabbeinu Zal shows very clearly the connection between money and the name of a person and the soul of a person. How all three of those are tied into one item. They're all a concept of malchus. Money is an inyan of malchus, memshala, ha'oysher v'hakovoid milfonecha, Rebbe mechabed ashirim. Money is a concept of kovoid, and kovoid is a concept of a person's name, having a good name, a good reputation. Boruch shem kevoid malchusoy. So kovoid is money, ha'oysher v'hakovoid milfonecha, and kovoid is the name, and kovoid is also the nefesh. the nefesh of a person is the kavod of a person. We had a whole chapter in the Ketoran, Torah Samach Zayin, where Rabbeinu Zal speaks about the nefesh coming from the kisei hakavod. That's the place where the nefesh originates from. So that's tying all three of these things together. So that Rav Nosson Zal explained here that the concept of money is tied into the nefesh, and the nefesh is tied into the name, and the Jewish name is tied into Shem Hashem. And therefore, non-Jewish money is tied into his name and his nefesh, which is nefesh the sitrachro, which is Shem Elokim Acherim, it's Avodah Zarah. And therefore, the minute Jew and Goy mingle in money, it's very likely that it's going to lead to a conflict between Shem Hashem and Shem Elokim Acherim. And if the Goy has any power, he will twist the Jew to have to take on Shem Elokim Acherim. He'll get the Jew to have to go to his court, to the non-Jewish court, and use Shem Elokim Acherim, which a Jew wants to avoid doing at all costs, if possible. Baruch Hashem, that's the end of Halacha Aleph. Halacha Beis, in Hilchos Maaser Matan. Achar Sheyotze Mibeis HaKnesset, Yelech LeBeis HaMidrash, Lilmud. The Shulchan Aruch says in Siman Kuf Nun Hei that after a person finishes davening in the morning, before he goes to do business even, he should try to set aside some time to learn. Shir Kavua. V'zeh Kvar Mavur Leil. Rav Nosson Zal says it was already explained previously. Ki tzorich lilmoid acharat filo kedei liknois chayim. That after a person davens, he's supposed to learn in order to acquire life. And only afterwards should he go to do his business. Because the Mishnah says in Perkei Avos that if a person learns and he doesn't work, eventually he's not going to be able to keep it up, and he'll end up chashom committing, he'll end up stealing or something, you know. V'zoher shelo yaskir shem shamayim levatolo. And the Shulchan Aruch warns a person should be careful in doing business, never to mention the name of Hashem in vain. Ki tzorech la'aseis maso matnach ralimut kedei lo'aseis naicho la'hamoichin shelo yiu misyagin. Now Rav Nosson Zal switches lanes. Now Rav Nosson Zal takes us into a Torah Likutei Moran, Torah Lamed Hei, where there Rabbeinu Zal explains that if a Jew is learning Torah the way he's supposed to, he's really doing it full intensity, super intense. If he tries to do that for 24 hours, he's going to burn out, or get wiped out. So we understand that there's a concept of rest. There's a concept that a person needs a certain, to give his moichin, a certain degree of rest, a chance to refresh themselves and rejuvenate themselves and start over again. And Rabbeinu Zal, that chapter in the Ketoran, says that what is rest? Rest is sleep, shena. And Rabbeinu Zal in that Torah Ketoran gives several definitions of sleep. There are several different forms of sleep. One form of sleep is going to doing business. What the Welt calls going to work. This cuckoo world, they say that the people that are sitting and learning all day, they're sleeping all day. Learning is called sleeping. Going to work is called being awake. That's because they're standing on their heads when they say that. They're upside down. If you simply turn the ball around and you make them right side up, they see things properly, they will see that learning, if a Jew is learning the right way, that's called really being awake. And a Jew who is learning the right way, his brain, you would see all the lights light up. But a person can only keep that up for, most normal people can only keep that up for a certain number of hours. And you have to let go a little bit. You have to give some sleep, some rest, before you can go another round. The rest, one of the legitimate forms of rest is going to work for a couple hours. K'may shekosov Rabbeinu beferish, shemasomatn hu b'chinas shena, shehu naicho la'moichin. As Rabbeinu Zal explains in chapter 35 in the Ketoran, that business, going out to work, is a form of sleep. It's a time where the brain is given the ability to rest up from the much, much more intense level of applying itself, which is learning the full depth of Torah. Ki tzorech lo seiz dafka naicha l'hamoichin k'shem isyagin k'dei shlo yeh b'chinas ribui sh'oyer goyim shvirs hakelim. Because when a person's brain is feeling tired from having spent hours intensely learning Torah, the person must give the brain a chance to rest so that he shouldn't fall into the trap of burning out, exploding from too high intensity. Because when a person uses his brain too much and he doesn't give the brain rest, then what happens is his brain, which is the vessel for seichel, cannot handle the amount, the wattage that's being put into it. And then the person's brain becomes completely damaged. And the person can lose his mind. This is another variation of what the Gemara means when the Gemara says that any Torah that doesn't have work with it will end up becoming batel. Another definition of that batel is that he'll blow his mind out. If he has Torah and he doesn't have malacha, he doesn't give the proper rest to the moich and everything, he will come to bitul. Bitul in this sense meaning explosion, blackout. Like you know when you put on the lights too bright and it explodes and it causes a blackout, chas v'sham, that kind of thing. Ki ein hakelim yecholim lekabel roi ve'isekat Torah, because his vessels can't handle that much Torah, such intensity for such a length of time. V'haribu yoyer goyrim shviras kelim, and the overload of light causes a breakage of the kelim. V'oz yoytzei asechel menatzimtzum, and then the sechel leaks out of its constraints. V'azayin is batei legamri, and chas v'sholom, blackout. V'azayin is skalkel v'noyfel moichel legamri, and then the person's brain becomes damaged and destroyed. Ki ikar kiyum hamoichin, kishiyachoyim lekabal asechel uletzamtzamoy besoichoyim. Because the main thing that allows a person's brain to function properly in a constructive way is when it has the proper tzimtzum, it has the proper controls on it. V'zehu soifoi b'teilo v'goyrere sovoin. And this is why the Gemara says, if a person doesn't do this the right way, in the end his Torah will become botel and it'll lead to sin. Ki kishasechel nistalek lebchinas bitul machma shvira sakele aydei ribu yo'er. Because when a person blows his mind out of ribuyor because of too much, then what happens, which leads to a shvira sakelim, then what happens, that's what creates klipois. That actually creates forces of tuma. And that's why it says it leads to sins. It means it leads to a creation of forces of sin. As we've seen such things happen. That sometimes a person tries to go too far, too fast in Yiddishkeit, and he ends up overloading and zappo, and then chas v'shalom goes the other way. Because when a person's brain becomes extremely tired, and he doesn't give it rest, it's possible to scramble and mess up the brain completely. And when there's bilbul adas, it leads this. When his mind becomes confused, when there's confusion, when he's not thinking clearly and well, when a person's very tired, he can't think clearly, can't think straight, it ends up leading to sin. Lahavdil, on the highest level, you have an example of this by Moshe Rabbeinu even. When it says by Moshe Rabbeinu, ki ho'oishek yehul al chochom, that it says by Moshe, when it came to Moshe Rabbeinu striking the rock, how did that come to pass? How does it come to pass that a tzaddik of Moshe Rabbeinu's caliber should deviate in any way whatsoever from what Hashem said? So Hashem said A, how did he come to do B? So it says over there that the machloikis, the fact that there was such bilbul going on, he was being bombarded from koirach and adot, from all the things that the yidden were throwing at him at the time, is what created a bilbul. That's the term, a bilbul atas. It made for a confusion where it made it possible even for a tzaddik on the highest caliber to become a drop on his level, mevulvo. And it made an allowance, chas v'shon, for a concept of a toys. You know, the slan, again, on his level, a tiny type of mistake, in a sense. So lahavdil by us, by regular people, when the brain is not functioning properly, obviously it's going to lead to avoyim. And this is why the Shulchan Aruch warns when it comes to doing business to be very careful not to mention Hashem's name in vain. Because the concept of being mazkir shem shamayim levatolo is a similar terminology of what we're talking about, causing a bitul to the moichin. Ki kishemaskir and shem shamayim nimtza shekoyron oisiz borok haviyachon shua chayachayim kamash gozoshon. Because when a person mentions Hashem's name, kaviyachol, just like lahavdil, when I'm calling a person and I say chayim, come here, when I say chayim, I'm gaining access to that person. Kaviyachol, when I mention Hashem's name, I'm gaining access to Hashem. I'm opening a pipeline to Hashem. Alkein ein lahaskir shem shamayim kiim b'toiru tefila. And this is why a Jew is only allowed to mention Hashem's name when it comes to toiru or tefila. She'oz yesh kelim umidois l'kavya l'chaim. Because if I'm speaking diburim of toiru or diburim of tefila, those are vessels which can contain the light of Hashem. When I mention Hashem's name, kaviyachol, a beam of light comes out of Hashem. Now that beam of light better have something good to go into. If it has words of Torah or tefillah that it's plugging into, no problem. It lights up and it shines. If that beam of light comes out and it doesn't have what to go into, or it has an improper keli to go into, explosion. And even though on one hand, Hashem's name itself is a keli, that itself is a concept of a midah, afal pikein zeyadua. Despite that, it is known ki yesh kelim lekelim v'tzimtzum letzimtzum, that there are different levels of kelim, and even though the name of Hashem is itself a keli, relative to other kelim, it's not a keli. It's an unbelievable powerful light. It's trillions of watts of light, kaviyachol, and it needs the name of Hashem, which is a keli, compared to the Oyer Ein Sof of Hashem. Still, the name of Hashem needs a keli to be put into. That keli being a discussion in Torah or a tefillah. Uma shenechshav lekeli bebchinas elyoino, adayin bebchinas hatachtoino hi bechinas oyer poshut beli keli v'tzorech laso is tzimtzum v'keli achar lekabloi. And item B, which compared to A, B is a keli. Compared to C, D, E, F, B is a bright light, and it better have a keli to go into, otherwise it can burn up things. V'alkein, osur lahazkir shem shamayim levadoi. Therefore, a Jew is never allowed to mention the name of Hashem just by itself, just to use it standalone. Kiim b'toiru tefila. You're only allowed to mention it in conjunction with toiru or tefila. Sheshar hatevois nasen keli lekabel hor kanal. Where the other words that are being mentioned in association with the name of Hashem, they are a keli into which the light of the name of Hashem is being plugged into. And it works out okay. Aval kishemaskir shem shemayim levatola b'lei toiru tefila. Whereas, if you mention Hashem's name levatola without toiru and tefila, Azai hi bechinas riboy Hashem en gorem lekiboy aner. Then it's a concept of too much light, which causes blackout. V'alkein chomor yoiser haskor shem shemayim levatolo mi brocho levatolo kanal. And this is why the halacha is that mentioning Hashem's name in vain is a worse avera than making a brocho levatolo, saying a whole sentence with Hashem's name in it levatolo. Because again, when you're saying the brocho, at least the bracha is a keli for the name of Hashem. So it's toning down the damage in a sense. As we said, shekoyrim bitul anal, it causes bitul, hainu kilkula kelim, destruction of the kelim. V'alkeinom razal, and this is why the Gemara says, kol mokem shaskor shem shamayim mitsuya, misa mitsuya, that wherever Hashem's name is being misused, death is prevalent. Because Rabbi Nazal says in the Torah that usually when you mention Hashem's name properly, You're calling the Chai HaChayim. You're calling upon the source of life. That's when you mention Hashem's name properly, which means when you do it improperly, you get the other side of the coin, which is mamish death, chas v'shalom. Because through the Torah or Tefillah that you're plugging the name of Hashem into, that's what makes it that the name of Hashem results in life. Whereas mentioning Hashem's name without Torah and Tefillah is the opposite of that. Therefore, now, when a Jew is going out to work, where we said the whole concept of going out to work is so that there shouldn't be a ribui shemen, there shouldn't be an overload by trying to study too much Torah, too much light, the whole concept of going out to work is a concept of a tzimtzum, to be mitzamtzim, the light of the time that you were spending in intense Torah. Therefore, we're told that at the time of work, be careful not to mention Shem Hashem Lebatola. So, person has to be careful not to mention Shem Hashem Levatolo, Shehi Pegam VeKilkol HaKelim, which would be a defecting and spoilage of the Kelim. As Rav Nosson Zal showed, how the concept of going out to work relative to learning is a concept of preparing, of building Kalim and toning down the light so that the light shouldn't be destructive and harmful. Just as the halacha of not mentioning Hashem's name in vain is a similar concept, that the Shem Hashem is a bright light. When it's said in conjunction with Torah and Tefillah, that's the tzimtzum on it. When it's mentioned without Torah and Tefillah, it's light without tzimtzum, which is explosion, that kind of thing. Therefore, we see an association between the two. Therefore, when the Shulchan Aruch teaches us about going out to work, it mentions in conjunction with that this concept of not mentioning Hashem's name in vain, because it's tied into this whole concept of Oyer and Tzimtzum and knowing how to deal with it the right way. Continuing in Likutei Halachos Or HaChaim Chelek Beis, Hilchos Maaseh Umatan, we finished Halacha Beis, and now Rav Nosson Zal adds a paragraph which is entitled Ktsas Roshe Prokim Mihilchis Netilas Yodayim Ubetzias Apas Halacha Beis, that this is going to be a brief summary or overview of Hilchis Netilas Yodayim Betzias Apas Halacha Beis. Rav Nosson Zal says Iker His Gabrus HaSitra Achra B'mokim Shiesh Kiddusha. The main place where the Sitra Achra tries to do its damage, to do what it wants to do, is in a place where there's Kiddusha. V'zeh chometz u'matzah. That's the concept of chometz and matzah. Netilas yodayim kedei lehorimon. The reason why we wash our hands is in order to elevate them. Bebechinas niso levovenu el kapayim el keil bashamayim. The pasuk says we lift up our hearts to our hands to Hashem in heaven. So we see the concept of netilas yodayim is a concept of lifting up. Kedei lekabel lechem min hashamayim, in order to be able to draw our bread from heaven. On a spiritual level, besides the fact that we're eating bread that's made on earth, we want to draw it from a place of kedusha. Al kein tzorich laharher tshuva koydim hu achila bechinas anocha. This is why it's brought that before a person is about to eat, he's supposed to think a thought of tshuva, that he wants to do tshuva, a concept of a krechts, a juga. A yearning of wanting to improve, wanting to fix whatever needs to be fixed. Ubemenusa loy telechon. There's a pasuk that says that when it comes to the Yidden leaving Golos, it's not going to happen quickly. It's going to go slowly, take time. Bepurkono basro, especially when it comes to the final Golos. When the Yidden went out of Mitzrayim, they went out bechipozayim, they went running. Whereas it's written that in the future, the final gula is not going to be running, it's going to be slowly, slowly. Mishum sheyesh kabbalah satoira. Because there already was a kabbalah satoira. That's why once we have the Torah in our possession, we go slowly. Aval oz, whereas when it came to Yitzias Mitzrayim, which was before kabbalah satoira, the Yidden had nothing. It was a matter that they were in a place of tumah and they had to get out. Oz holchu b'menusa. Then they had to rush. They had to run out of there. Ki hoyo adayin reshus paroi aleihem, because the power of paroi was still over them. Al kein ochlu matzah. That's why they ate matzah, which was baked very quickly on the run. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, Tzorich lilmoid ala shulchan. A Jew is supposed to learn on the table that he's eating, by the table that he's eating. Bebechinas esek ha-toyrah. Ho achilo hu bechinas limud. And eating is also a concept of eating. Eating is also a concept of learning. Komei shekosuv luchu shivru ve'ichlu. And shivru is a lotion of limud. And the Gemara says that a person who eats at a table where there is no Divrei Torah being spoken, it's as if he ate from Korbonos of Mason, which is the opposite of life. Hashulchan hu shulchan melochim. The table symbolizes a concept of malchus. Ashrecho eretz shemalkeich ben choyrin v'sorayich bo'yis yecheilu. The Pasuk says, fortunate is that land whose king is a free person, and whose officers, whose princes, eat on time. We see an association between eating and princes, royalty, malchus. Hanetilo b'mayim. This is all bullets, very short bullets, of something which Rav Nosson Zal obviously expounds on in a big way in Hilchas Betzias Hapas Halacha Beis. Hanetilo b'mayim b'chinas chesed. Washing one's hands with water. Water is always a concept of chesed. Bechinas mikve mayim. Revius, bechinas malchus. Bechinas dalid v'nasehe. Hadas. The fact that you must use a minimum of a revius of water when you wash your hands. Revius means a quarter of a lug of water. Revius is also symbolizes the letter dalid, which we've said many times symbolizes the malchus, which is called dala va'aniya, poor. And the Dalit, the Malchus, when it gets elevated, when it gets its tikkun, it becomes a hay. And the hay symbolizes Das, hay hayidia. Bechinas, revius, hahin. There's a pasuk in the Chumash where it speaks about a quarter of a hin. And Rabbeinu Zal in chapter 49 in the Likutei Moharan quotes that pasuk, revius, hahin, referring to the concept of converting the Dalit to a hay. Revius, the revi, the Dalit, Hahin is miloshin hayin, you know, to a hay. Kli v'koyach gavra, you must use a keli when you wash your hands, and it must be done through human strength. A human must pour the water. Afilu kishenu echel biyodov tzorech litol. Even if you're not going to be using your hands in eating, even if somebody else is going to feed the food to you, you're supposed to wash your hands. Ulehepech hamachil ein tzorech. Whereas the one who is feeding you, if Reuven is feeding Shimon, Shimon is not touching the food with his hands. Reuven is feeding him. Shimon, the one that's eating, is required to wash his hands, not Reuven. So obviously it's not just the issue of cleanliness, you know, on a gashmius level. There's something much more to it. Eser tevo is bebircha samoitzi. The bracha samoitzi consists of 10 words. And you're also supposed to hold the bread with all 10 fingers when you make the bracha. Kineged amalchus, corresponding to malchus, which is an inyan of tens. Sorei asorois. When the Torah speaks about Moshe Rabbeinu setting up a judiciary system, you know, a system of judges for Klal Yisrael, they were sorei alofim, sorei meois, sorei chamishim, sorei asorois. The minimum unit of authority was a leader over tens. So we see 10 as a concept of leader. Leader of tens. Sorei asorois. Godoil hamesuben boitzea. The most learned, the greatest one of those who are assembled and eating together is the one that is boitzea, that makes the hamoitzi for all of them. Al yidei achila bekashrus nishlam hadas. When a person eats properly, it leads to Shlemus Hadas. These are all very, very short notes related to that halacha and likutei halachos. Now, Rav Nosson Zal writes, so far we covered Hilchas Ma'aser Matan Aleph and Beis. Now they write in here, Hilchas Ma'aser Matan Halacha Gimel Lo Noida Lo Noaye. Rav Nosson Zal's students write that they never found if and where Rav Nosson Zal had written Hilchas Masumat and Halacha Gimel. We do not have that available to us today. Now we begin Hilchas Masumat and Halacha Dalet. This halacha is going to be one of the sizable ones. You know, everything is relative. It's going to be about 19, 18 paragraphs, which will take us a few shiurim. And in the first paragraph, as always, Rav Nosson Zal gives an introduction from Likutei Moran. The topic that he's going to discuss now in this first paragraph is based on a Torah Likutei Moran, Torah Ayin Vov, chapter 76 in Likutei Moran, in the first half of Likutei Moran. And it's also touched upon in two other places, in Torah Yud Gimel in Likutei Moran. There also, Rabbeinu Zal speaks about the concept of Hashkocha, Hashem looking at the world, and the concept how, in order to see, it requires two-way motion. It requires the eye sending out a laser beam, in a sense, to the object, and then that laser beam returning back to the eye and bringing, communicating back to the eye what it saw. This topic, Rabbeinu Zal discusses in at least three chapters in Likutei Moran. One is Torah Yud Gimel, one is Torah Ayin Vov, which is going to be our chapter here right now, and the third place is Torah Samach Hei. There also, there's a paragraph in there where Rabbeinu Zal touches on this topic. So if a person will want more information from Likutei Moran on this, those are the addresses for it. Rav Nosson Zal is going to tie that into the whole concept of Parnosa, how we do business, how and why we do business. Inyan Masu Matan, regarding the topic of doing business, Yizoher Melishtatef Moakum, the Shulchan Aruch says a Jew should avoid doing business with non-Jews. Mishum V'Shem Elokim Acherim Lo Taskiru, because of the fact that it could lead to mentioning the names of their idols, swearing, etc., etc. Kimavur Sham Bo Erechaim Simen Kuf Nun Vav, as is explained in Shulchan Aruch Erechaim, chapter 156. Now, Rav Nosson Zal writes, Al pi ha-toiro vayihi achar ha-dvorim ho-ele b'simen ayin vav. This chapter of Likutei Halachos is going to be based on chapter 76 in Likutei Moran, in the first half. Ayin shom kol ha-toiro. Review the entire chapter there. Mevoyer mishom, it's explained from that chapter in Likutei Moran, shehistaklus, that looking at something, hu bechinas oyer yoshor vo'er choyzer, requires a two-way traffic. It requires a light that emanates from the person's eye. Likutei Halachos, Orachaim Chelek Beis, Hilchas Masumatan, Halacha Dalid. We're in the introductory paragraph. Rav Nosson Zal says, V'zeh b'chinas ki rom Hashem v'shofol yireh v'govoya mimerchak yeido. In Likutei Moran over there, Rabbeinu Zal quotes this pasuk, Hashem is very great. People that are humble, Hashem looks at. People that are arrogant, govoya, mimerchak yeyedo. Hashem does not look at them. Hashem wants to know them from far. Hashem wants to keep his distance from them. And Rabbeinu Zal explains over there in Likutei Moran, look at this. Shofol yire. Yire implies closeness. When something is close by, you can see it. Because the beam of light that's traveling from your eye to that object doesn't have to travel that far, and it remains focused till it strikes the object and it bounces back. Whereas Rabbeinu Zal explains over there in Likutei Moran, if the object is far away, too far away, what happens is this beam of light that's coming out of your eye towards the object, by the time it gets to that object, it's dispersed. It's no longer a thin beam. It starts spreading out, and it doesn't strike hard. It doesn't strike the object hard enough and well enough to be able to bounce back to your eye in a direct way and bring that object back into your vision for you to be able to see it. So Rabbeinu Zal there brings a proof from this pasuk where it says, Shofol yireh. The Shofol Hashem does see. The Govoya mimerchak yeyeda. Whereas the Balgaiva, Hashem says, he's too far away. Too far, I can't see him. So we see that this closeness and farness are what regulate the ability to see, not to see. As we know, b'chush. V'al yidei ha-histaklus nasik keli. Now, Rabbeinu Zal over there in Likutei Moran explains that when a Jew looks at something, he's forming a keli. Dahainu gvul uzman. Meaning, he's creating a tzimtzum, boundaries, a boundary of space and a boundary of time. We know, for example, especially those people who know about cameras, the whole concept of a camera and how it works and how sharp, how good the picture is, quality and everything, is determined by two things. It's determined by the opening of the shutter, how far open, how wide open, not wide, wide angle lens, you know, how much light is coming in, and also the issue of time, the speed. There's a concept of a film that's so quick and so quick, and the quicker, it takes a sharper picture in a sense, sometimes based on regulation of light. Here, Rabbeinu Zal over there explains that when a person looks at something, and if a thing is passed before your eye very, very quickly, sometimes a person will take a book and hold the book open right next to you, and it'll pass it in front of your face quickly. Did you see any of the letters that were written on it? Not one. If he does it fast enough, you won't even know if the book is written in Hebrew or in English. Why? The item was passed in front of your eye. How come you didn't see it? The answer is because it was too quick. Because part of what determines the ability to see and the success in seeing something is time and also this issue of gul. So when I do look at something and the item does register in my brain, it means that I was able to create a frame for it, like, in a sense. My vision went out in a concentrated way, it hit the item, and it brought the item back in a box, in a sense. You know, boxed, packaged, back into my eye, back into my brain. So Rabbeinu Zal explains over there that looking at something is actually a concept of making a keli, the hainu gvul uzman, a concept of space and time. Ki koidim sheroya hadovor hu belay gvul. Because before I see an item, the item has no boundary. And when I see it and it registers, I know exactly what it is. So large and it's so far away from me, I've identified it. I've given it an identity in terms of space and time and everything by looking at it. Exactly, the concept of a person wants to buy something. Somebody comes into my store and he says, I have this diamond for you and I want $10,000 for it. What's the first thing I'm going to say to him? Okay, let me see it. What do you mean? What do you got to see it for? You know I have to see it? Because seeing it will give it a tzimtzum. Seeing it, I'll be able to evaluate it. If I know what I'm doing, if I know how to look at a diamond correctly, I'll look at it, and I'll look at it carefully. And by looking at it, I will give it boundaries. I'll give it boundaries of value. I'll give it a value, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Based on time and place, based on what country I'm in, what the value is, and based on whether it's today or yesterday. Yesterday the shekel was so much, today the shekel is something different. Validei ha-histaklus, sheroya ha-dovor, v'nechkak b'daitoi, and when a person looks at something, and the object becomes inscribed and is registered in his brain, aydeze nase le-gvul. Now the item is bounded by boundaries. It's contained. V'zeh b'chinas mailas habitochin. And Rabbeinu Zal explains over there in Likut Imran that this whole concept of looking and the Or Yoshon Or Choizer is tied into the concept of bitochin, trusting in Hashem. Ki habitochin hu b'chinas istaklus. Because the concept of trusting in Hashem is described in the Torah using this terminology, looking to Hashem. B'chinas, as the Pasuk says, Hashem, all eyes are focused on you. All eyes are yearning to you. And by a person looking to Hashem in the right way, in a concentrated way, that's what helps the person draw Shefa and Parnosa from Hashem. Ki ha-hashpo yoyredes melamalo tomid. Because kaviyochol Hashem is always, constantly sending out Shefa. Hashem is always oozing with money, with food, with health, with everything that a person needs. Ach shehu b'loi gvul uzman. However, it's without boundaries. It's without time and space. V'yochoy liyoyz sheadovor shetzorich achshov yovoy loy lachar kamashonim. And therefore, if a particular person needs money to buy food for Shabbos, it's not as if Hashem doesn't have the money. That's not debatable at all. Of course Hashem has what I need. The question is whether Hashem is going to give it to me today on Friday or he's going to give it to me in 6 years, you know, when it's too late. Avol al yidei habitochoin. However, through bitochoin, bitochoin meaning a super intense, perfect trust in Hashem, where the person's whole focus is upon Hashem. He's not looking for other sources. He doesn't depend on other sources. He knows that the address from which he gets everything that he has and needs and wants is from Hashem. Bechinas histaklus l'Hashem yisborach. And again, Rabbeinu Zalveir is defining the term bitochin as a person looking to Hashem for what he needs. Aideze oise l'hahashpo kli. When a person has that kind of attitude, where he trains himself to look to Hashem for everything he needs, that looking to Hashem is what creates the tzimtzum of time and space. That's what puts a date and a place on the shefa that's coming from Hashem. To know exactly when it's going to get to me and where it's going to, and it's going to find me where I am. Dahainu. Gvul uzman shetovo yahashpo beishetzorich. This means it places a time and a place on the shefa for the shefa to get to me at the time that I need it. Vezehu enei choyle lecho yisaberu v'atanoisa mesochlem bitoy. And this is why the pasuk says in Tehillim, Hashem, all eyes are turned to you, and you give the people what they need at the right time. It's through this concept of looking to Hashem, when we look to Hashem properly, the act of looking to Hashem is what sees to it, what ensures that we get what we need at the right time. Because looking is what creates certain boundaries. That's what frames the Shefa and puts a date on it and puts a place on it to see to it that it'll get to me on time. It'll find me and it'll get to me on time. That's what ensures that the Shefa comes be'itoy. Be'itoy daiko, Rav Nosson Zal says, on time, exactly on time. Dahainu b'chinas gvul uzman, meaning within the proper tzimtzum. Person shows up to the post office, he has to send the package and he must have the package. The package must arrive at the other person he's sending it to by this and this date, otherwise the person's not going to have what he needs. And the person arrives at the post office 2 minutes late, the door's locked, and there's nobody there. What do you mean? The post office is right here. How could it be that I can't send it? I came to the post office. Sure, you came to the post office at the wrong time. You came when it was closed. Or at the right time. The person knows the hours of the post office are from 9 to 1. He shows up at 12:30, and he's standing there, and he's waiting with his envelope in his hand. He's got his money in his hand. He's ready to buy those stamps. And he stands there for 2-3 till 1 o'clock. And he says, I don't understand. I'm standing here. Nothing happened. So somebody says, what do you mean? What did you want to happen? I wanted to buy stamps. I wanted to send. And I says, yeah, you're standing 30 feet away from the post office is right over there. You're in the wrong place. So the object is not going to get to where it's supposed to get to. Lahavdol by Hashem also. There's this concept that by Hashem there's a shefa. And the shefa is constantly flowing. In order for it to get to us, we have to attach, we have to be able to frame it within time and place. We have to get it at the time that we need it, and it should find us where we are, that kind of thing. And the way, the histaklus, the looking, is what creates that frame for the shefa, is what boxes the shefa, puts an address on it, you know, for an address and a timer on it, for it to get to the right place at the right time. Bitochin. Because looking is what forms a keli. Okay, that's one major topic that's discussed there in Likut Imran, in chapter 76. Then Rabbeinu Zal touches on another topic, another version of this. Rabbeinu Zal explains over there that this same concept of a tzimtzum related to the shefa, this same concept is one of the main reasons why a Jew must come close to tzaddikim. Ki heim oisim gvul uzman sheyeh esek haTorah v'avoda koroy lefi erkoy b'gvul uzman. Because the tzaddikim are the ones that help the person realize what his boundaries are. When it comes to learning Torah, how much time to spend on Torah, when to learn, when not to learn. Shalzeh hispalel, for each person according to what his capabilities are. Shalzeh hispalel Dovra Melech Olav Shalom. This is what we find Dovra Melech Davin Tashem in Tehillim. Tzomo nafshi lelekim lekel choy, mosayoboy v'eroe pnei lekim. Hashem, my soul thirsts for you. It yearns for you. How much does it yearn? Infinite. It's blasting with yearning. But mosayovoy ve'eroe pnei lekim. However, Hashem, that's dangerous. If a person's in a state of thirsting, very dangerous. You can die from thirst. The what's needed is ve'eroe, that there should be a vision involved. There should be this concept of re'ia, which is a concept of tzimtzum haro'ois, looking to be able to see exactly, you know, to see exactly how much I should learn and when and how. Ve'eroe daika shetiyeh ho'avoida bebechinas re'ia. What David HaMelech was davening for was that his avoidas Hashem, his serving of Hashem, should be in this form of vision. Dahainu bebechinas keli, meaning it should be boxed, it should be packaged properly. Ugvul, bebechinas kli ugvul uzman. Ayin shom kol ze heitev. Look over there in Likut Imran, chapter 76, where you'll see all of this discussed. Now, Rav Nosson Zal writes, and this is very important. Ki ha'af umnam shehatoyra azoy similoshin ha'chaverim, sheloi nichtevo yofe klal, even though this chapter on Likut Imran is one of approximately 20 chapters on Likut Imran, which Rav Nosson Zal did not write. He wasn't present at the time. Somebody else, other people wrote it down. And unfortunately, they did not have the ability to write anywhere near as clear as Rav Nosson Zal did. And the result is that when you read these 20 chapters in Likut Imran, they're very choppy and they're very, things don't flow smoothly. Rav Nosson Zal says, despite that, afal pikein, despite the problems with it, hamedaktek umayin sham, if a person will try to study it carefully, to study this chapter in the Likut Imran carefully, yimtzo gam shom hagdomos v'chidushim nifloim, he'll find wondrous things over there also. Ki kol dibur v'dibur shiotzim mipi Rabbeinu Zal, omoik v'noira moid. Because every single word that came out of Rabbeinu Zal was deep and very, very awesome and deep. This is the introduction from Likut Imran. Now Rav Nosson Zal is going to bring this into Likutei Halachos, into our topic of Masa Umatan. Paragraph Aleph. V'zeh b'chinas Masa Umatan be'emuna. This is the concept of what the Shulchan Aruch talks about in a person doing business properly. B'shvil hamshich b'chinas koyach ro'is. The purpose of it is to draw this hashgacha. Shehu b'chinas hashgachos yisborach, which is the concept of Hashem looking at us. And we should be able to draw the look of Hashem upon us, bishleimus. Bebechinas re'ia, the concept of proper vision. Shehu bechinas oyer hayosher v'oyer hachoizer, which is the concept of a light that flows out, forward and backwards. Shaydeze nase kli lahashefa shetovoi bo'isu bizman kanal. And it's that look that forms a keli to see to it that the Shefa should come at the right time. Kikol hamasu matan enoi nigmar kim al yidei shnei. Now Rav Nosson Zal explains. Kikol hamasu matan enoi nigmar kim al yidei shnei b'nei odom. Shenoisim v'noisnim zeem zeh. We know that anytime there's a transaction, anytime there's business being conducted, usually it requires two people. One gives and one takes. Shezeh noisim lo zeem mois, oi chefetz ploini. A gives B money or some object, and B gives something back to A in exchange. That's what Rabbeinu Zal was referring to over there in the Likut Imran as an example of this Oyer Yoshur and Oyer Choyzer, something going from A to B and something going from B back to A. Because each and every single person who's doing business is drawing shefa from himself to the other person. He's being mashpia. And then he receives something back from the other person in exchange. Oyer HaChoizer. That's the concept of the light coming back. Shezeo b'chinas re'iyah. This is the concept of seeing. Shaydeze daiko nimsheches hashpo b'gvul hazman kanal, which we said earlier is what assures that the Shefa is coming within boundaries. Alkein be'emes ikar hamshochas Shefa parnoso hu rak al yidei bitochen. Therefore, so Rav Nosson Zal says now, look at this. On a physical level, when people do business, any kind of business that's intended to generate a profit, that someone's giving, the person's giving something and getting something back in return. Just like Rabbeinu Zal's explanation of seeing. Seeing is a concept of the eye giving forth a beam of light and then bringing it back, then having that return. So Rav Nosson Zal wants to say from this that the concept of doing business, the concept of parnosa, is synonymous and tied into the concept of seeing, the concept of the hashgocha of Hashem, Hashem looking upon us. Shehu b'chinas, the concept of which is only based on bitochin, because be'emes ikar hamshochas shefa parnosa hu rak al yidei bitochin. The main ability of a person to be able to draw parnosa is only through trust in Hashem. Shehu b'chinas histaklus, which is a concept of looking to Hashem. B'chinas oyer hayoshev oyer hachozer. Shaydeze oyse keli dainu gvul uzman shetin imsheches ha'ashpo b'chinas gvul uzman shetov eloya parnosa bitoy bizmanoy. That's how he makes it that the Shefa has boundaries to it, and it's able to arrive by him at when he needs it. Uma shetzrichen la'asoyis eze masumatn ve'esek hu gam kein rak b'shvil zeh. The fact that Hashem created the world in such a way that we have to conduct business is for this reason. What reason? Kedei lahamshich b'chinas koyach harois, in order for that to be a vehicle through which we draw kaviyochol the look of Hashem upon us. B'chinas oyer hayoshev oyer hachozer al yidei ha'maaseh u'matan kanal. Through our performing a physical transaction in this world, that's how we bring upon us the hashgoch of Hashem. Kedei shaydeze tovoy hashefa b'gvul uzman kanal, which assures that the shefa from Hashem comes to us packaged within at a right time. Kibavad ayashem yisborach yochel litein parnosa lodom b'loy shum siba b'li shum masumatin. Because we know Hashem definitely has the ability to give a person shefa without the person having to do anything. Without the person having to do any action whatsoever, any transaction or any action. Kemoisha Kosu, as the Pasuk says, Ki loy mi moitzo mimara, v'loy mi midbar horim, ki elikim shoyfe. This Pasuk is used to show that it's not your efforts, it's not your traveling to here or there that gives you parnosa, it's elikim who decides who to give to and who to take away from. And just as Hashem was able to support our forefathers in the desert for 40 years with man, and they were not lacking in anything whatsoever, so too he could do it today, just the same. The only reason why we do have to do things now, we do have to be oisik in maso matan parnosa businesses, because we do not have the bitochin, we do not have a powerful enough bitochin, which should be mamish, a solid re'iya. Dahainu, sheroiv, einam zoichem sheyeh eineyem tsoifo istomed lishuas Hashem levad. Most people are not capable of looking constantly to Hashem only with 100% trust, powerful trust, so that thereby they should be able to draw upon themselves the Or Yosher and Or Chozer, which is what ensures that the Shefa should come on time, the way it's supposed to, etc. And because most people are not capable of having that kind of perfect, solid bitachon, therefore, we have to resort to doing business and doing transactions and working, etc. The ikar hakavonu shel ha'maaseh u'matan hu b'chinas hanal. However, our main objective in the work, in the transactions is lahamshich al yedei ha'masumat b'chinas soira yoshev v'rachoizer shuv'atzmai b'chinas habitochim, is to draw upon ourselves this hashgacha of Hashem, this oir yoshev v'rachoizer, which means to draw upon ourselves bitochin in Hashem, real bitochin in Hashem. Therefore, a person must see to it that the masumatan should be done with emuna, to conduct business with faith in Hashem. Lahamin b'Hashem shekol ha'parnosa hu rak me'ita yizborach, to believe that the parnosa is only from Hashem. Ulechav einenov l'Hashem yizborach levad, and to focus our eyes to Hashem, to turn to look to Hashem for help. Ki ikra parnoso hu rak al yidei zekanal, because the main parnosa is only through that. Vegam kol ikra masumat lebo kim bishul zekadei lasis lashpo kli dainu gvul zman kidei shetovo yashpo bitoy. And again, the main reason why you're being oisik in business transactions is to place a time on it, to create this tzimtzum, this gvul, for the shefa to come to you when you need it. Ki ha'ashpo yoredes tomid, because the shefa is constantly flowing from Hashem. Rak shu b'loi gvul zman. It's just that it doesn't have a time on it. It doesn't have an address. Who it's supposed to go to? Vaidei ha'histaklus b'bitochon. And by the person looking to Hashem with a solid faith and trust and confidence in Hashem, shu b'chinas oir ha'yoshev v'rachoizer, which is this concept of this vision, that's what creates the keli to see to it that the shefa should come on time. That's the concept of a transaction, a give and take. Which is a concept of exchange. Just like vision is an exchange. I shoot light out and the light comes back. Therefore, Rav Nosson Zal says, the truth is, according to how solid a person's trust in Hashem is, who poirek mimeno biyoser oil tirdas hamasumatan, you find that person is able to remove from himself more and more the burden of parnosa. That person has to struggle much less for parnosa. The better the person's faith and trust in Hashem is, the less hassle and difficulty and struggle the person has in parnosa. Ad sheyesh tzadikim, sheyesh lem bitochin chozo kol kach, to the point where we know that there are tzadikim who have such solid trust in Hashem, ad shein tzrichim shum esek umasamatn v'loi shum ovda unesia klau b'shvil ha'parnosa, where these tzadikim do not have to do any transaction. They don't have to travel at all. They don't have to do any activity for parnosa. Because when the person's bitochon in Hashem is really solid, then his bitochon is what creates the kli. He doesn't need anything else to make the keli. His bitochon alone makes the keli. And the only reason why the world has to conduct business and transact is because of the weakness in bitochen, because our bitochen is not betachlis ashlemus. Therefore, we need business to create the keli to do all of this. However, even a person who's involved in doing business, obviously the most important item is the bitochen with which he does his business. Because if he doesn't have bitochen, and if he isn't looking to Hashem, he can do all the transactions in the world and all the business in the world, and it ain't going to help him. Because wealth is by Hashem. It's only because we are too weak to have bitochin alone. Therefore, Hashem tells us, go out and work with bitochin, And the work will help you strengthen your bitachon. The fact that you're working, human nature is such that when you're working, your bitachon in Hashem, you'll be able to have stronger bitachon in Hashem also. You'll have more confidence that Hashem can give you what you need. And then the person draws parnos upon himself because he created a keli, which means a boundary, a time.
This is the concept of what Yirmiyahu Navi said to Klal Yisrael. Hadur atem ru'u dvar Hashem. See the word of Hashem. V'dorsh razal, and the Gemara darshins on this, Shimu leinemar. It doesn't say hear the word of Hashem, el ru'u. It says see the word of Hashem. Mikan shehoitzi lohem tzinsenes hamon. This teaches us that Yirmiyahu Navi actually took out the vial of Mon and showed it to Bnei Yisrael. Vomar lehem, and he said to them, Re'u, b'man esparnesu avoseichem. I want you to see what supported your parents during the time that they were in the Midbar. Rav Nosson Zal explains, Ki Yisrael b'midbar nizaynu al yidei bitochein levad. Because when Klal Yisrael were traveling through the desert, they were sustained only through bitochein. There was no hishtadlus at the time for parnosa. There were no consulting agencies. There were no computer firms. There were no fields. Shezehu b'chinas hamon sheyorad lohem b'li shum asiyah ve'isekum asumat n'klal. That's the concept of the mon, which came to them without any business, without them doing any hishtadlus to get it. V'akol hoye b'schus Moshe. It was all in the schus and the merit of Moshe Rabbeinu, Shehu Hadas, who is the symbol of true das, true understanding. The Doiroi Doirdeo, and his generation was called the generation of das. Shehim Shekohem Das Godo Kolka Chat Shehoye Mechavnen Enei Daitom Nistakel B'bitochon Hashem Yisbarach Levad, whereby he shined in them, he shined into them such an understanding of Hashem, such a realization of Hashem, to the point where they were able to look only to Hashem for their sustenance. Ad shiyarat lehem amon arboim shona d'rayim b'yomoy, to the point where they were privileged to have the mon come down to them for 40 years straight on a daily basis. V'zeh b'chinas hanisoyoin hanemar b'mon. And this is the whole concept of the test that's associated with Amon. Kemoshe Kosev, as the Pasuk says, Hineni mamter lochem lechem in Hashemayim. I am going to send you food from heaven. Leman anasenu, in order to test you. What was the exact issue of the test? Ki ikar hani soyoin im yizchasku bebitochen b'chol yoyim v'yoyim. The main test was to see whether they would be able to have strong confidence in Hashem on a daily basis. And they wouldn't have any extraneous thoughts of worrying about parnosa. Lamer to say, what are we going to do if the mon does not come down tomorrow? They did not allow themselves to have any such thoughts. But rather, they were able to strengthen themselves in pure trust in Hashem every single day. That Hashem, to have confidence that Hashem will definitely give us what we need every single day. Who can move on Shem b'parshas, and as is written over there in the Torah where it discusses this, that was the essence of the test with Amon. The essence was this ability on a daily basis not to worry and not to be looking for any other security, any other form of security other than Hashem. Hashem is enough. As long as Hashem is in business, I know I'm taken care of. And Hashem will always be in business, so I know I will always be taken care of. I don't have to look to anything else. I don't need any proofs. I don't need any guarantees. I don't need any alternatives, any alternate plans, nothing like that. Asher al kein nitztavu. It was for that reason that Hashem commanded them, ish al yoisu mimenu ad boiker, that nobody should leave over any mon for the next day. V'al kein, and this is why be'emes nimtzu b'hem anoshim asher esiru menu. This is why we find that what happened was that there were Jews that did end up leaving over mon for tomorrow. Vayiktzoif aleihem Moshe. And the Torah tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu was extremely angry at them. Ki ikar yiridas hamon hu alidei bitochin. Because the whole concept of the mon being sent to Klal Yisrael is based on bitochin. It's based on a pure trust in Hashem. Luvtoyach b'Hashem yizborach levad, to trust only in Hashem. Shezeu b'chinas histaklus. This is the concept of what we discussed earlier, being focused on Hashem, looking only to Hashem. That's the only way that a person is able to define a time and place for the Shefa. This is what brought them this fabulous revelation that the Mon came down to them from heaven. And the Torah tells us also, Shebishvil ze yorad lahem hamon b'chol yoyim v'loy b'pam echod al kama yomim, that this is why Hashem did it in such a way that the mon came to them in a daily dosage. Not that they got the received mon on one day for several days, but rather it had to come daily dosage. Kidei sheyitlu einehem lamorayim, in order to ensure that the Yidden would always be looking to Hashem. It's not that they got a package for a week and they know they don't have to think about this for another week. They don't have to worry about this for another week or think about it. But on the contrary, Hashem gave it to them on a daily basis because He wanted the Yidden to feel that they're looking to Hashem on a daily basis, on a moment-to-moment basis. The purpose of this was to educate them and to train them in having super bitochin in Hashem, super trust in Hashem. And this is why Yirmiyahu Hanavi, kisherotzo sheyasku b'toyro v'yischasku b'bitochin levad ad sheytov lehem haparnosim en hashmayim levad b'lishum esek kima shiyar ad amon l'avoyseinu, during the time of Yirmiyahu Hanavi, when he wanted the Jews to rise to the occasion and to dedicate themselves 100% to the study of Torah and to trust in Hashem for parnosah, so that Hashem will take care of them exactly the same way He took care of our forefathers in the desert, Al Kain Omar Lohem Re'u Devar Hashem. This is why Yirmiyahu Hanavi used this code word. He said, look at the Dvar Hashem. Re'u Daika. Hainu shehu, he used this word re'u on purpose, intentionally. Hainu shehudiyah lahem, she'ikar hamshochas haparnosu ha'idei koyach ha'ra'oi slavat shubichinas bitochin. Yirmiyahu Hanavi was teaching the people of his generation that the main concept of drawing parnoso or shefa from Hashem comes from this re'iyah, this histaklus, which is synonymous with bitochin, a concept of looking only to Hashem, focusing and concentrating only on Hashem. Shayidei sheho'odon mistakil bebitochin rak l'Hashem yizborach levad. Because when a Jew is able to look with trust and confidence only to Hashem, then it's possible for the Jew to be able to draw parnosa from Hashem without having to go through any intermediary step, without having to do any iota of hishtadlus, of physical effort, to obtain the parnosa. But rather that the parnosa should be sent to him from heaven, like the mon was sent to the Jews in the desert from heaven. Whereby it came to them only through this perfect bitochin. Paragraph Gimel. So Rav Nosson Zal says, Nimtza shemasumatn b'emuna shel Yisroel hu rak lahamshich or ayosher v'orachoizer. So therefore, the concept of Jews doing business, transacting business one with another in order to generate parnosa, is obviously a concept of this Oyer Yosher and Oyer Chozer, through which Hashem sends parnosa to the Jews. We said before that bitochin was a concept of re'iyah, looking, whereby kavyochol, the Jew looks to Hashem and focuses, concentrates his eyesight, his look to Hashem, kaviyochol, sending up a concept of a laser beam up to Hashem, and then Hashem responds by sending back a laser beam of light, which brings the shefa that that person needs at its right time. Shaydezeh naase keli, and we said before that's what creates a keli, shezehu b'chinas bitochim. And that's synonymous to the concept of bitochim, trust in Hashem, which also generates the keli. Because the main purpose of Jews doing masu matan, conducting business or going to work, is to strengthen their bitochin. That should serve not in place of bitochin. It's not because I don't want to trust in Hashem, I don't want to have to be dependent on Hashem, so I go out to work. Chas v'shalom, that's atheism, that's kfira. On the contrary, I want to receive everything I get from Hashem. And I wish I were on a level to have 1,000,000,000% trust and confidence in Hashem. But since I know my weaknesses, I know that I'm not perfect in bitochin, therefore, as a crutch for my bitochin, in order to help my bitochin, I'm going to try to help my bitochin by doing some form of hishtadlus, some form of business. And it's for this reason that the Torah warns that when a person is going to do business, it's forbidden for him to get involved with goyim, to make partnerships with goyim. So that it should not lead to having to mention the names of idols, having to swear in secular court or in non-Jewish court, you know, by the name of their idols. Ki ikar hakeli dahainu sheteret hashefa begvuluzman zenasaide koyach rois shubchinas or yoshev or choizer. Because we explained before, the main concept of creating a keli for parnosa is dependent on koyach rois, which is or yosher or choizer. It's this two-way light. Veikar bchinas or yoshev or choizer anasaide koyach rois. And Rav Nosson Zal explains, the only way that this works is when a person really focuses and concentrates his attention and directs it only to Hashem. As is explained in the chapter in Likut Imran that this is based on, chapter 76 in the first half of Likut Imran, and as is explained also in chapter 65 in the first half of the Kutimran, and in chapter 13 in the first chelik in the Kutimran. These are all chapters which speak about the concept of hashgacha proti, and of they explain the concept of a flow of shefa from Hashem and how it works and how it requires us looking to Hashem. And our looking to Hashem generates a reaction, kaviyachol, of Hashem looking to us and with his look directing shefa and parnasa to us. V'haklal, to summarize what's mentioned in those places, she'ein yecholin lirois dover, likach hadover l'toich hadas, dahinu l'tzairoi b'daitoi, kiim kishakoyach rois hoylech mechuvon loisei hadover, ubolov b'hako. It's impossible for a person to see with his brain, to see an object, unless his eye focuses directly on that object. He looks directly at the object, and his eye sends out a certain beam, in a sense, of something that strikes that object in a solid, focused way, and then bounces back to the eye, and translates the image to the brain and tells the brain what image the person is seeing. Then it's tayer hadover beinov. Then the picture is formed in the eye of the person or in the brain of the person of what the person is looking at. Vaoz roya hadover. Then the person sees the object. This is the same concept of what we spoke about before. And this is why the Shulchan Aruch makes a point of saying that a Jew is not supposed to join in business with a goy. Because the shefa that's coming to a Jew is coming via a holy track. It's based on our faith in our Hashem and the fact that we trust only in Hashem. v'yedim, and we realize ki kol hashef avar parnosu mitis parach, that all shef and parnosu is coming from Hashem. Ki hu yisparach mashgiach bashgacha protis al kodov shabaylam. Hashem supervises every single individual item in this world. V'hu yoshev mechalkeir mefarnes mikarnei reim v'ad beit zekinim. And Hashem supports and sustains every single item of creation from one extreme to the other. Ukemo de izdabek barnash lesato hochi misnagin ime malela. And the Zohar HaKadosh says that the same attitude that a Jew shows below on earth is the corresponding attitude that Hashem shows to that person from heaven. You're looking to me, Hashem says, then I will look to you. Dahainu, kemo yishonu maminim shaparno sebo bashkoch sashim yisporach levad. To the degree that we believe that our parnosa comes only from Hashem, kimoy kein hu yisborach mashgiach aleinu b'hashgoch shleima. To that degree, Hashem gives us 100% of His hashgocha. Bebechinas koyach haroisan al shebo b'hakol aleinu, as in the format of koyach harois that we spoke about before. Ve'onu nitztayren be'enov, and kaviyochel, our image is formed in the eye of Hashem, in the brain of Hashem, kaviyochel. Just as we explain that when a human being looks at something, the eye sends out, that item is pointed towards the eye of the person. And that item, in a sense, is sending an image of itself into the eye of that person. So too, kaviyochel, when we are looking to Hashem, our image, kaviyochel, is being sent, kaviyochel, into the eye of Hashem, into the brain of Hashem. Ukemavur b'ha-Torah ashriya mashgocha, ayin sham, as is explained in detail in chapter 13 in Likutei Moran. V'alkein yoyredes ha-parnosav ha-shef oleinu me'itoy levad. And therefore, because we look to Hashem in that solid way, therefore, our parnosa comes to us only from Hashem. And nobody else is able to get involved. There are klipois who would want to latch onto it, and they can't. Because of the fact that we are focused only on Hashem, and that causes Hashem kaviyochel to direct things only to us, therefore it's a perfect beam that goes up, bounces back down, and nobody, no side items, can get involved in it. Avol ho akum vohorishoim akoyfrim einu ma'amina bashkoch zashim izbor v'shleimus. Whereas lahavdol the goyim or any other people who do not believe in the hashkoch of Hashem, the ikar hakfira shalem hu bechinas oyer hachoyzer shenas aydei atzimtzum shemechavnin hadas varois bekivon ubitzimtzum lamokim shetzrichim ad shechoyzer bakol ein of kanal. And the main concept of their kfira is tied into this oyer choyzer, this ability of us to be brought back into the eye of Hashem, in a sense, where it only works based to the degree that we are looking to Hashem, to the degree that we believe in Hashem, and we're looking to Hashem to sustain us, to that degree there's this or chayzer of the flow of Shefa coming directly from Hashem to us. Avol, kishehorois nispazer menatzad ve'enoi bo b'hakol adover shereitza lerois. Whereas, as we explained earlier, when the vision of the person is not being focused directly on the object that he wants to look at, but rather, because the object is far away, what happens is, by the time that beam of light goes from the eye to the object, it's no longer a focused beam.